Recorded from the Oklahoma State University Stillwater campus, this is the Inside OSU podcast. Here are your hosts, Megan Robinson and First Cowboy Darren Shrum.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Inside OSU podcast. Along First Cowboy Darren Shrum, I am Megan Robinson, and we are so excited to have a former OSU homecoming queen with us this week for homecoming, Brooke Taylor.
Hi.
How's it feel to be back in Stillwater?
Oh, it's so good. I love being in Stillwater anytime, but especially homecoming. There's so much orange and everyone is happy. I love it.
What made you want to be a homecoming queen back in your day?
Oh my goodness. I don't know that I wanted to be homecoming queen, but the truth is my freshman roommate at the time came home with the application and said, I think you should do this. And it sat on the counter for probably 3 days. And she was like, no, I'm serious, Brooke. Like, you'll win if you apply for this. And so I did. And for me, I wasn't in a house on campus. I took a non-traditional, non-Greek life. I'm from Payne County. And in my mind, I thought no one picks a local to win anything on campus, right? It's going to be harder for a local to do anything on campus because you're judged, I think, maybe a little bit more harshly because you grew up here. And I didn't think it was possible to win, if we're being honest. And it was probably the coolest week and day of my life because it was the first time I thought, oh my gosh, I could do this. I could do anything.
That's awesome. That's the thing that makes college and high school different, right? Because it's kind of like when you go to college, you can almost be anything you want to be, right? Mm-hmm. So it's your time to change or be the same or whatever you'd like to do.
Right.
I know homecoming is awesome. So we've had, you know, several kids graduate here, and homecoming is such a fantastic time because of all the pomping and everything that they do. And it's crazy. And last year, Casey and I rode around in a golf cart for about 4 or 5 hours and handed out cookies and cupcakes and visited every side on campus, and it was a ton of fun. And crazy too is Casey and I get to be the grand marshals this year of the parade. So first time. We were in it last year, but we were like 5 or 6 cars back, so that was fun too. But anyway, so it's great, and congratulations that you were OSU homecoming.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
So my favorite story about that day is, at that time, it was halftime is when you found out who won.
No, okay. Not fountain dyeing like
no,
it is now.
No, that did not exist yet. So halftime, and you know, usually then everyone left the stadium kind of at halftime to go back out to their tailgates. Mm-hmm. No one did. And I was the only person who was, I believe, the only person who was not Greek. And so as they announced each candidate, their houses would cheer for them. And I remember standing on the field thinking, well, this isn't going to go well.
Hope somebody cheers, right?
Yeah. And when they called my name, the entire College of Ag cheered.
Great.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like they know my name. This is amazing. And that was a really good feeling to know that even though I didn't think anyone had my back, it was like a whole section of the stadium. It was wild.
That's the greatest thing about OSU is it's a family, truly. And I think everybody here is accepted. And they have their different support groups, which is awesome. So do you ever try the crown on?
Do you still have the crown?
Does it still fit? That's right.
My daughter, she has the sash. Right. She knows where that is, and she can get to it really quickly. And then I still have the orange shoes.
Awesome.
And she will wear them around the house on occasion.
And I think right in front of you
is the picture
of you as queen.
Oh, how cool is that? Well,
yes.
Orange heels. Look at them.
Orange heels.
That's awesome.
You know, I obviously have these shoes from my senior year. And then I saw your wife in a photo with her orange shoes.
Mm-hmm. And
she has
so many.
She does.
Well, I saw a very specific pair. Right. And my friends actually went in together and bought me these shoes. I was recognized on campus earlier this year as a Young Achievement Award winner for my department. And they sent me those shoes as a congratulations. So I should thank your wife for those fancy shoes in my closet.
She's the hard orange. So. Yes. People showed up at our house today, right, to do a quick tour, and so everybody wants to see her closet because it's just orange and black. And heels are Nike tennis shoes, right? And so it's kind of cool to see. So you went to school here. So what did you study when you were here?
Sure. So my undergrad is agricultural communications
with
a minor in ag econ, and then I stuck around for my master's in international agriculture, focusing on mass communications.
Did you do in ag ed, right? They have the area where you can actually a company can pay money, right? And a group of four work on maybe helping them rebrand or remarket their business.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have to do that back then? I got to judge those, right? I've been two semesters and I think
so
it's awesome.
So campaigns class.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
But then I also interned on campus. I don't know if it's still here. It was the new product development center. So I had an entire internship that was doing exactly that for multiple semesters.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. My kids all grew up in ag, and so I got to sit through and judge that. And I always look forward to that at the end of every semester they do that. So they have the projects, and they present them and how they should be marketed. So,
which for me, that transitioned into what I do for a living, which is just marketing for food and ag companies.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
But you also have a foundation and your own company, Rural Gone Urban.
Yes.
So is that your full-time job or is that on top of your marketing job?
Sure. So I worked for advertising agencies across the country, working for national, international clients. And I wanted to move home to Oklahoma and rural Oklahoma specifically where there's not great internet. And so I launched my own business under the Rural Gone Urban brand, which that name actually came from a blog. My former roommate right after college and I moved to Oklahoma City and we started a blog called Rural Gone Urban. I just transitioned that name into my business name. So full circle. And that's my marketing full-time business. So I work with national, international food and ag companies under that brand. And then earlier this year launched the foundation, which is independent. It's a public foundation. It just carries the same name.
What do you do with your foundation?
Sure. So this is going to be a little murky. I know we haven't got to this part yet, but this the foundation truly is a reflection of the three most important seasons of my life, the hardest and most enjoyable. And the first pillar of this foundation is supporting B students as they focus on what their post-secondary education is going to look like. And so for me, I wasn't a straight A student, but I did wear the orange gown at college graduation and I was the homecoming queen. And if it was not for scholarships and grants, and I would not even have been able to step foot on campus. And so B students need scholarships too.
I agree. I like that. Because I was almost a B student.
Right? B and C. B and C gets so, the degrees, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So.
So the number of times people have asked my GPA post-graduation is zero. And I get that it matters in some things, but I'm like, you can still be successful without, you know, burning yourself out by studying for 17 hours a day and needing to get straight A's. So I love that you're really encouraging the B or sometimes C students to pursue college because it is for them.
Right. And
it was a good friend of mine. He's a dentist today. Right. And he graduated number 82 in his dental class. And
out of 83?
Yeah. Well, no, out of 82. Right. And I was like, Paul, that's awesome. And so I won't tell his last name. And he goes, you know what you call it? The kid that graduated 82nd? A dentist. And I was like, that's exactly right. Right. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Right.
Right. So and even in school for me here on campus, you know, I work so many jobs, even having leadership, you know, positions that sometimes I wasn't turning in the best work because at the time, just, you know, making rent was really important as you know, eating was really important.
Well, you're able to balance things, right? Yeah. And so that really tells me more. I used to hire a lot of people when I worked for a pharma company, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was more interested in when they went to school, if they just went to school or were they involved? What organizations were you involved? Did you do any special things outside of school? Because, you know, life is multitasking constantly, right? And so, I think that's awesome.
So I want to get those B and C students. I want to give them the opportunity. I love A students too, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of options out there for them. So that's the first pillar. The second pillar is business grants for small rural business owners. When I moved from Nashville back home to Oklahoma, I actually moved into the apartment in my dad's horse barn because I needed to launch a business. I didn't have a lot of inflow like to make that happen, and so I was
you needed low overhead,
right? I did in a barn, right, truly, right. And so thinking back, if someone were to give me a no questions asked grant, that would have catapulted me so far. And knowing how far I've come with my business now, if I would have had just a little bit of help then, and so I want to pay it forward to those business owners, because truly, you know, if you can live where you want to live, where you get to see the ruralness of Oklahoma or whatever state it may be, you're going to be happy and enjoy your job.
Sure.
And then the third pillar is supporting who I believe are the bravest people of all. And those are the people who are facing a cancer diagnosis. As a 2-time cancer survivor, and I can say that the second part very recently, I know that there's a huge gap between what insurance pays for and the lowered income that you have because you have to take some time off to fight cancer. And in that gap, you have this area where you want to make memories with your family. and you want to print all the photos, all the thousands of photos on your phone, because I mean, your phones aren't going to last forever. And making memories, just, you know, those things cost money and no one's supporting. So helping those women do those things. So for me, I'm probably going to jump around a little bit on this, but in March of this year, after 2 years of living with no evidence of disease of cancer, my cancer came back out of the blue. It shouldn't have happened statistically. And here I was with a 2.5-year-old who was not going to remember me. Mm-hmm. She was going to have videos and photos. And goodness.
That's crazy.
It was terrible. And all I could think about was, what can I do to leave a legacy for her? And that truly is where the Rural Gun Urban Foundation came from, is I'm not here. Maybe she can know me through how I choose to love others without an asterisk. And the three most important pieces of my life, that other people can carry out in my honor if I'm not here. Luckily, I just had a clear scan, so I am gifted more time. That could be 70 years, that could be 6 months, but I have more time.
Awesome.
And
so can you kind of talk about the very first time you were diagnosed and kind of what your situation was? Were you married and how old you were, if that's okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was diagnosed in 2019.
Okay.
Wow. I was newly married to my high school best friend. We are not high school sweethearts, but kind of a rekindled Hallmark thing when we turned in our 30s.
Friends make the best marriage,
right? And we had an amazing snowstorm wedding in Big Sky, Montana, just really awesome. Hallmarkness, right? The good stuff. And I was managing my job. I was traveling all over the state, working on some really fun clients, producing TV series. And I was pregnant and I was living my best life. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm living in the good old days. And while I was pregnant, I noticed some changes that take place, but I'd never been pregnant before. So
how would you know?
How would I know? And I trusted our doctors and they said, oh, this is just part of getting ready to have a baby. But then my mama bear instincts kind of popped up on my 38-week appointment. I literally took my shirt off in the appointment and was like, I'm not leaving here until you feel this. And within 24 hours, I met with a breast health specialist. I actually like waddled into his office, honestly. Yeah. And he took some biopsies and he said, don't worry about it. Have a relaxing weekend. Poker face. My gosh. He's one of my favorite people now, but man, that poker face.
I don't know how they can expect people to do that when you hear that word, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So he called me on Monday morning at 8 a.m. and he said, hey kiddo, it's cancer. And I am very large pregnant.
Like
very,
you're due almost anything.
Oh, I have like fully cooked this child. Yes. She is ready. And within 15 minutes, my other doctor called and said, hey, you want to have a baby today? I was like, yeah, I guess. And so just a few hours later at 2 o'clock that day, I met my child who we had decided not to know the gender. And so we thought that would be the biggest surprise of her day of birth. And in fact, was not.
Right.
But I was diagnosed in a pretty early stage, stage 2B, which is pretty early. I went through the entire breast cancer buffet of all of the chemo. I had a few surprise surgeries for staph infections. At the time, I had a client, Oklahoma Beef Council, and we were doing some video series with Steven Adams. And so I was producing from the chemo chair, you know, working on like video prep, which is a really wild season of my life. They would say, hey, the Benadryl is about to hit, so you're going to have to get off that phone and call. It's what we do, right?
Get a little sleepy, right?
Get a little sleepy, managed. Anyway, went through all of the things, and I had a double mastectomy. And at that time, they said there was no evidence. You beat it. You did it. I did proactive radiation just to be sure. And then I also, because I had learned during the process, I was a BRCA1 carrier. I had a preventative hysterectomy and oophorectomy just to be safe. Mm-hmm. So my child was less than one and I was handing over my reproductive organs to, you know, the cancer volcano is a kind of a please leave me alone sacrifice. And then I had two really good anxiety-ridden years of just being a mom and a business owner and doing great things. And then it came back.
That's crazy. You know, I think that sounds to me like you just stayed extremely busy during all the treatment, and that probably had to help you and really help you just not to. I mean, you have to think about it every day. You know, I think about just being older, right, and think about the things that can potentially happen, but something was actually happening to you. And so I'm guessing that helped you, you know, keep your mind kind of off that a little bit.
It did, and I think that's just who I am, and all the people around me are just as people. It's just do the next right thing. What, you know, I love owning business. I love my clients. And what I think hurt me the most during that season was that I wouldn't get to work with them. I was like, oh, watch me. It'll be fine.
Very unselfish. Right.
Yeah.
And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Hence the reason I'm wearing hot pink during homecoming week. It is not my lack of school spirit. It's my support for breast cancer survivors and people currently battling it. But why is this month important to you? And what knowledge should people know? I mean, what can we make people aware of this month?
Right. So I like to think of breast cancer as a sport out of all of the sports. And within the sports, you have subgroups. You have D1, you have your variations of college, you have high school, you get all the way down to the Y ball, right? And so it's kind of how breast cancer works. Like, it's so much more than just one diagnosis. I have a very specific subgroup diagnosis of triple negative breast cancer that affects younger women under 40, and then also, you know, people of color are also more affected than people with my skin tone. And I think there is so much unawareness of something that affects so many people. And by so many people, I mean 1 in 8 women will be affected by breast cancer in their lifetime. That's regardless of genetic or family history.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I think that, you know, you talked about going for a scan in March. Was that a routine thing, or was that something that you listened to your body?
Yeah, so that was completely listening to my body. As women, we're pretty critical about what we see in our reflection back in the mirror. And right around February, I noticed my reflection is looking a little puffy. This is not me. This is not what I've worked so hard for, to grow my hair out, lose the steroid weight, to do all of those things that come with, you know, treatment. And I called my doctor. I said, something is off. I can't tell you what it is, but something is off. And so I have a really good doctor team, and they pulled me in and they did a scan. And what they found is one of the tumor markers, the range is somewhere around 1 to 39 for this marker, and it was at 4,200. And so they did a scan, and what they found was my cancer had returned. And my neck, my clavicle, my spine, my lungs, my ribs, and a very large percentage of my pelvis. So when it returned, like, it was angry. It came back. It was ready. It was ticked off. And that was wild. But here's what's even more wild. I've now had 2 clear PET scans. The recent one in September is, like, there's no, my doctors will never say it's not there.
Sure.
Because it's stage 4. Stage 4 is incurable, but there's nothing there to circle on the scans. There's nothing there to say, hey, this is something we should watch. There's just nothing there.
Right.
And it's only been 6 months. And I think that's even crazier than seeing a scan where it's returned and it's angry.
I mean, yeah, I'm just sitting here. I don't know what to say to you.
I don't either.
I mean, like, I really don't. I'm just sitting here. I'm thinking, how? I mean, that's incredible. Your fight just to do that, and I'm sure you were disappointed. I'm sure the emotions were just running crazy. And then, you know, now you have your little girl, right?
I have a little girl.
Yeah, and you have your husband, and all this is just like, oh, my God, here we go again. I'm just like, I'm sitting here managing. I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't deal with all that, you know. And
so I have been really blessed to do some fun things. The first part of the summer, I took my daughter to New York, and I took her to Tiffany's. And I'm probably gonna cry telling you this.
Tiffany's in New York.
I took her to Tiffany's
because you spent so much money. Or?
Probably, yeah, yeah. yes. Thankfully, her high school graduation, her college graduation, her wedding, and her first baby gifts we picked out together.
Oh, wow.
And we have photos of us doing that.
Right.
And they are wrapped, and they're in the safe at home.
You're going to make me cry. Oh, my God.
Because this is why October is so important, and awareness and research is so important, because statistically, even though I had a clear scan, statistically, I'm not going to be there for any of those.
Wow.
And that's the truth. Like, I had a clear scan, and maybe I get to have a clear scan for 70 more years, but statistically,
right,
I don't. And so that is why it's so important that I don't know that I'm going to be able to send every mama to New York to go to Tiffany's for their baby, but hopefully, you know, through one of the pillars of the foundation, we can help fill in those gaps, because I know what it's looked like. I know what it feels like to look at your child and think, I'm your everything right now. Like, I'm your favorite person in the whole world. I know all your inside jokes. I know that you want to be Ferdinand the Bull for Halloween. Like, I know all of those things. But if I leave today, she's now three.
Right.
Like, she's not going to remember any of that. And so what can I do to lessen my own heartache, but also to leave something that she knows without a doubt her mom loves her, period.
Right. That's a very cool thing that you're doing. Yeah. I mean, I've heard where people have left videos and different thing, messages and different things like that, but that takes a lot of foresight to plan all of that, right?
So much.
Because then in a person's life, that's the biggest events they'll ever go across, right?
Yeah.
That they'll ever experience. And so I'm praying for you right now.
Thank you.
And so it's just, it's amazing. I didn't know how this interview was going to go, you know, with you. And I'm like, because somebody goes, well, actually, Haley asked me, she goes, because I get a little sensitive. I don't know, I'm a big guy, but I get a little, I said, well.
You have daughters.
I do. And, you know, and we have six kids, and it's just, you know, you think about things, but when it's really happening to you or has happened, and praying that it doesn't happen to you again, it's just, it's real.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, you know, ever have to experience that, thank God. But when you do, and I mean, you're a champ in my book.
You've
done awesome, and you can tell your drive is incredible. And so you're a fighter, and, you know.
Oklahoma State Cowboy.
There you go. That's right. That's exactly right.
I'll tell you, one of the most heartbreaking things for me is just a human, not a mom, just for my own self, is when cancer gets in the way of me just having normal days.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worse than that. So part of the season I'm in right now is the medicine that has given me two clear scans is also really giving my bone marrow a run for its money.
Right.
And I never even knew that I needed my bone marrow to function at a certain capacity until it stopped. And my hemoglobin has been tanking. So I go in weekly for blood work, and they say, no, you're good this week, or nope, you're getting a blood transfusion this week. And so between taking care of my family and doing regular things, I'm just sitting at the hospital getting blood. And a few weeks ago, I was asked to judge the first round of OSU Homecoming Royalty.
Okay.
And I had to email from the hospital in the infusion chair receiving a stranger's blood. Hey, so sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it today. I feel really bad. I know I'm supposed to be there in a couple hours. I am getting blood. And those days, not just because it's doing something cool like judging homecoming royalty.
Sure.
Although super cool.
It's awesome.
I'm
awesome.
Bummed about
it. You bet. Is that something you'll have to do for the rest of your life?
Until my bone marrow gets it together. So hopefully no. But I mean, I will do it forever if I have to, but hopefully not.
Yeah, hope not either.
Yeah. Well,
you kind of mentioned it, but I think it's such an honor that you're part of the Cowboy family. And I'm so glad that we get to talk a little bit about, you know, the happy homecoming stuff coming up, but also the seriousness of it. And we were talking a little bit before the interview, and I lost my grandma to breast cancer when she was in her early 60s. And I think what encourages me and trying to remain optimistic for you and for those other women out there fighting is that, like, technology has come so far and just continues to advance. So like, the optimist of me wants to believe that there is going to be something that is a cure or a way to keep extending those years and make that lessen that statistical chance that it might not be as long as 70 years.
Right. So the medicine I'm taking today, it was still in trials like 5 to 8 years ago. So
it's ever-changing, then, I guess.
It's ever-changing. It's improving. Right. And the subtype of cancer I have, triple negative, means that it's not driven by any hormones, which what that means is science hasn't caught up with it yet, because most science is for hormone-driven breast cancer. And so for the side of the fence I'm on, I need research to pull through. I need there to be more scientists and more people who are seeking cures for young moms.
So let me ask you this. So let's talk about something.
Hit me.
Happy, right?
Yeah.
So will this be your daughter's first walk around this Friday?
Last year was
her first.
Oh,
she went.
She did.
And she'll remember
did.
More hopefully year after year because that is so incredible.
Pistol Pete is her guy.
So she's not scared
about
Pistol Pete.
No, it is her guy.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
She has all of her orange clothes. She knows to wear them on Friday. We are oddly in this part of the state we are in right now is very crimson.
Right. So the leaves are changing there then.
The leaves
it's a beautiful area because, you know, I grew up in Arkansas, right? And then we have a place in Coweta. And so all that area, that whole area where you're from is just beautiful. You have the lake over there and all that.
Yes.
So it's really beautiful.
So she knows to wear orange on Friday. I have not taken her to a game yet. So hopefully this year is
get
going.
There Saturday?
Hopefully. This will be, you know, first game for the three-year-old. I think she'll lose her mind when she sees Bullet.
Does she know horns down yet? Has she learned horns down? That's important for Saturday.
Yes.
And she can also, you know, so now, have you ever met BB or seen BB, the mini Bullet horse?
The horse?
No.
Oh.
So I think it's usually set up at Hall of Fame, right?
Perfect.
And it's set up on the corner, and I think if you get there a little bit early, that usually they've got BB, which just cracks me up. But anyway, so they've got BB out. And
here comes BB Bullet.
That's right. And so it'll be, your daughter will be about the perfect size for her, I'm sure.
Perfect.
I'm not even sure if BB's a boy or a girl. But anyway, it's a little pony.
Okay.
So, anyway.
I think what is so amazing about OSU Homecoming, and you're an outsider, really, is that it's so inclusive to all ages. Mm-hmm. Like, have you gone to the parade?
I haven't. So last year I actually got sick. I got sick
oh
and
gosh.
I had COVID and I was in a 10-day quarantine over homecoming. And I was so excited because 2020 it was canceled. And I was like, my first homecoming. And then I spend it in my apartment.
Oh, no.
So it's
you
so sad.
You must go. It is so
this year,
fun.
I'm like enjoying it all. Soaking it all in.
It's so good.
It's like 80,000 maybe.
Yeah, it's wild.
100,000 people. But yeah, it's crazy. We have three boys we adopted from Ethiopia, you know, 10 or 11, almost 11 years ago. And the first time we brought them up here, they were just, first of all, I'd never seen that many people together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you can't move. It's just like when you're walking down the roads and all that stuff, and it's crazy. But it's just, it's such a cool event, and I'm glad she's going to get to be there. I'm sure her husband will be there with you. And
yes.
So
he is also an alumni.
Oh, he is. Awesome.
Yes.
Now, where is he from?
He is also from Perkins.
He's from Perkins. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
A lot of famous, great people are from Perkins, right? I'm learning more and more every day.
Starts with Frank Eaton.
There you go. That's the guy, right?
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Well, Brooke, we really thank you for taking the time to come hang out with us, talk to us, sharing your story. Appreciate your candidness. I know it's not easy to talk about, but it's really important for people to learn more about breast cancer and taking care of their health. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for watching this episode of the Inside OSU podcast. On behalf of First Cowboy Darren Trum, I'm Megan Robinson.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.